They're making our food out of people. Next thing, they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them. You tell everybody. You gotta tell them. Silent Breed is people!
Welcome to the 147th episode of Egg Timer Philosophy. I'm your host, Eric Roark, and today's episode will focus on ideas offered by the 19th century English thinker Thomas Malthus. One reason why I put this episode together about Malthus is because he was an extremely influential thinker in the 19th century. And shortly, I'll give some context to that influence. But in the 21st century, his recognition has really waned. And lots of people really don't know who he was or why he mattered so much in the history of ideas. Fields such as political economy, ecology, and evolutionary theory all developed under the background of Malthus's ideas about population. And one account that I've read makes the case that he was as influential in the 19th century as Freud was in the 20th. And most of this influence was because of his 1798 book, An Essay on the Principle of Population. He actually revised that work for about the next 20 years of his life and created six editions of it. It's in that work where Malthus presents his theory of population, and sometimes this is called Malthusian law of population or Malthusian growth. So if you ever spot any of those terms, they're referring to the same basic idea. And that idea at its core is pretty simple. Populations tend to increase geometrically while food supply increases arithmetically. That's just a somewhat fancy way of saying that population tends to move like 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. It doubles consistently, while the food supply tends to move like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The problem, if this is true, is pretty obvious. Too many people and not enough food. And the idea that overpopulation either is or will be a major problem is still one that you'll hear many people talk about today. The language used here is typically in terms of the carrying capacity of the Earth. How many people can the resources of the planet actually support? And Malthus, for his part, was not optimistic about plans to somehow avoid what he saw as the nasty implications of the mismatch between too many people and not enough food. He's actually pretty deterministic or fatalistic about the matter, about this idea. And a lot of that was because he viewed people in general, his thoughts on human nature, were pretty dour to say the least. And directly from his principle on population, Malthus writes the following. Man is sinful, inert, sluggish, and adverse to labor, unless compelled by necessity. Had population and food increased in the same ratio, it is probable that man might never have emerged from the savage state. So Malthus doesn't have, clearly doesn't have, the most positive view about people, but his thoughts aren't rare among a lot of classical economists and political economists. The standard view by many in these areas is that people will engage in as much leisure as possible. And that view has shaped a lot of classical economic theory. But within the history of ideas, you can contrast the standard view, or the view by many like Malthus, with the view of Marx, who differed a lot on this point, and instead suggested that people actually naturally desire to work and labor as a way to contribute to the species or community. These fundamentally different assumptions about human nature are still the basis for competing economic theories today. But to be really clear here, Malthus wasn't responding to Marx. It was the other way around, with Marx developing his economic approach roughly 50 years after Malthus. Instead, the intellectual debate in the early part of the 19th century was between Malthus and Enlightenment-inspired thinkers like Goodwin and Condorcet, and a little bit later in history, thinkers like John Stuart Mill. Those Enlightenment thinkers tended to believe that human progress could address a concern like overpopulation, while, as we've already looked at a bit, Malthus was a lot more pessimistic on that subject. For his part, Malthus really only saw two types of mechanisms or checks that could create a balance between the geometrical growth in people and the slower arithmetic growth in the food supply. And he called these checks preventive checks and positive checks. The preventive check involved what Malthus called moral restraint. And essentially that just means less procreation and hence less people. And he didn't put a lot of stock in that possibility. But what he couldn't have predicted and likely would have radically impacted his views was the innovation and mass use of effective birth control in the 20th century. Now, the positive check here, and this isn't positive clearly in any moral sense, was the reduction of people through things like famine, disease, and war. And it wasn't that Malthus liked these things. He just saw them as what would inevitably occur when populations grow too large to be supported by existing food supplies. Unlike his Enlightenment intellectual rivals, he didn't think that people could simply make the problem go away through innovation or anything along those lines. Now, before looking at how accurate the Malthusian law of population has proven to be, it's worth looking at the historical influence of the idea, because even ideas that might not turn out to be true can still be extremely important. Without any doubt, Malthus's most historically important influence to the history of ideas was towards Charles Darwin and the role that his ideas played in helping Darwin to develop the idea of natural selection. And this isn't just speculation. We know of this connection directly because of Darwin's autobiography. And here's a section from that autobiography, and this is Darwin directly. In October of 1838, that is 15 months after I began my systematic inquiry, I happened to read, for amusement, Malthus on Population, and being well prepared to appreciate the struggle for existence, which everyone goes on from long-continued observation of the habits of animals and plants, it at once struck me that under these conditions, favorable variations would tend to be preserved and unfavorable ones to be destroyed, the result of which would be the formation of new species. Here, then, I had at last a theory by which to work. So I read Darwin's thoughts here as basically saying that his reading of Malthus produced that aha moment when he put together the pieces to create the theory, his theory, of natural selection. Now, of course, it's entirely possible that Darwin would have put the pieces together without reading Malthus. And it's interesting that he says he read Malthus for amusement. I don't know how many people could say the same, but that's how Darwin puts it. But it's also possible that Darwin doesn't put these pieces together without his exposure to Malthus. Tough to say either way, but the strong influence from Malthus to Darwin is absolutely clear. And you'll also find the Malthusian law of population either in the background or sometimes on center stage by a host of historical, social, and political thinkers who advocated for policies surrounding eugenics or other means of population control as a way to avoid famine, disease, and war that Malthus argued would result from too many people with not enough food to go around. And even in literature and popular culture, Malthus has had a pretty notable impact. Aldous Huxley, in his 1932 classic Brave New World, writes about Malthusian belts, and that's Huxley's term. And these are worn in the story by certain characters as a guard against pregnancy. And many films have had this plot point surrounding the idea of too many people with too little food. The 1973 film Soylent Green comes to mind, but there are quite a few others along the same theme. So how well does Malthus's law of population actually hold up? Is a mismatch between population and food supplies really something to be deeply concerned about? The answer here is probably no, at least certainly not to the extent that Malthus suggested. The dire prediction of a world always pushed to its limits because of a constant mismatch between people and food supplies is not the inevitability that Malthus thought it was. And the reason for this is because technological innovation, especially within agriculture, has grown tremendously in the past 200 years. That slow, arithmetic increase in the food supply isn't exactly what actually happened. When Malthus was writing, though, the average farmer might be able to feed maybe 6 people a year in a good year. And now with modern agriculture, that number is more like one farmer feeding over 150 people per year. But despite this massive gain in food production and efficiency, make no mistake, global poverty is still a massive problem, with low estimates of 1 billion people around the world who are food insecure on a regular basis. But that problem, and it's a massive problem, it isn't created by nature or the actual inability to feed everyone. The world has plenty of resources to feed every hungry person. But for lots of social, political, psychological, and economic reasons, that doesn't happen. The failings in this area aren't found in a natural law, as Malthus suggested. Instead, those failings are found in the decisions and actions taken by people to prioritize certain things more than feeding those who need food. There's one last point here regarding overpopulation that adds an important contemporary environmental twist. Malthus was worried about the scarce nature of resources, such as food, within growing populations. And it's a fair concern, at least, especially in the 19th century. But today, a different concern confronts the ways in which people use resources. And I'm thinking here about the use of fossil fuels and their impact on climate, and specifically how population plays a role here. And you'll sometimes hear suggestions about how overpopulation threatens the world from a climate or environmental perspective. But that talk is misleading, and here's why. A baby born today in a random spot in the U.S. will statistically have the same carbon footprint as roughly 600 babies born in sub-Saharan Africa. This staggering 1 to 600 ratio was documented by Frances Moore LePay in her book EcoMind. And if you're interested in environmental issues, I highly recommend that book. Now, the massive 1 to 600 ratio is subject to assumptions about resource use and economic development, but the staggering difference clearly illustrates that as climate is concerned, the challenge is not really with overpopulation per se, but with how people use or don't use resources such as fossil fuels. So when modern thinkers discuss a concept like carrying capacity of the earth and questions of how many people can use the resources of the planet, how many people can the planet support? Any answers there depend a great deal not just on how many people exist, but in how those people use resources. That'll wrap things up for this episode of the Egg Timer. I hope you enjoyed hearing a bit more about Thomas Malthus and his ideas about population, and I'll see you back in a couple weeks for the next episode. And until then, as always, wishing you good philosophical vibes.